Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have a lot to talk about today. There's a huge asteroid that is headed toward the Earth, and it'll pass by on July 3rd. We'll talk about that. George Bush said global warming is a serious problem, and we need to start dealing with it. Controversial sex ed book aimed at four-year-olds. And Israel is about ready to go into the Gaza Strip because of the soldier that's been kidnapped by the Palestinians. And meanwhile, the Palestinians' Al-Aqsa Brigade, they've announced that they have chemical and biological weapons that they'll use. This is a first, that they'll use against Israeli soldiers if Israeli soldiers enter the Gaza Strip, and also they said that they'll start putting these chemical and biological weapons on the rockets that they shoot every day into Israel, nearly every day. What else is going on? Is North Korea is threatening to test launch a ballistic missile that could carry a nuclear warhead. Japan has agreed to let America deploy our Patriot interceptor missiles in Japan, and that's a first. That's a good thing. And Warren Buffett has given $30 billion, well, he's announced that he's giving $30 billion to Bill Gates, so Bill Gates can use it in his charitable efforts, his Gates Foundation. And, of course, both men are radically pro-abortion. In fact, Warren Buffett has used some of his money to help develop RU-46, the abortion pill. And they're both concerned about overpopulation and like the idea of getting rid of, any number of human beings for the goal of having fewer human beings. That's a typical liberal goal. All right, so that's some of what's in the news. Before that, on a recent program, I was talking about how prisons are a joke. Prisons basically are a school for criminals, and you send men to prison and they come out worse. And instead of prison, liberals are against prisons because they don't like punishing criminals. That's why liberals are against prisons. A liberal, to be a liberal, you have to want to protect the life of a convicted murderer, rapist, and kill an unborn child. So liberals will kill the innocent and protect the guilty, and they're against prisons because they don't like to punish criminals. Whereas conservatives who are against prisons, we're against it because prison is a joke. It costs billions of dollars a year. It's a school for criminals, and people get worse when they go to prison and they come out, and typically they commit even more vile crimes. Well, anyway, we talked all through that on a recent show, and I received this email comparing prison to work, and so I thought we'd look at this. In prison, you spend the majority of your time in an 8x10 cell. At work, you spend most of your time in a 6x8 cubicle. In prison, you get 3 meals a day for free. At work, you only get a break for 1 meal, and you have to pay for it yourself. In prison, you get time off for good behavior. At work, you get rewarded for good behavior with more work. In prison, a guard locks and unlocks the doors for you. At work, you have to carry around a security card and open all the doors yourself. In prison, you can watch TV and play games. At work, you get fired for watching TV and playing games. In prison, you get your very own toilet. At work, you have to share. In prison, they allow your friends and family to visit you. At work, you cannot even speak to your family and friends. In prison, all expenses are paid by taxpayers with no work required at all. And at work, you get to pay all the expenses to go to work, and then they deduct taxes from your salary to pay for the prisoners. Which sounds better, prison or work? And it ends with, so what are you waiting for? Go close down an abortion clinic. Oh, yeah, and free medical in prison. So if you go close down an abortion clinic, like go have a sit-in on the front door, then what do? They'll put you in prison for a while. And then you get all those benefits. All right, so now there's a huge asteroid that's headed generally in our direction, but it will miss us, but it'll come relatively close. In astronomical terms, this asteroid, they're not exactly sure the size yet. As it gets closer, they'll know more over the next few days. But they estimate, astronomers estimate, it's about a half a mile in diameter. That's pretty big. Half a mile in diameter, like 10 city blocks wide and high and deep, and, you know, a ball, a rock, a stone. And it will come exceptionally close to Earth on Monday, July 3rd, and it will pass about the same distance from us as the moon is. The moon is normally about a quarter of a million miles away, almost, 240,000 miles away, and that's about how far away this asteroid will pass. Now, I know that Stephen Hawking is very worried about mankind, whether we could survive on Earth because of global warming. And I was thinking maybe Bill Gates and Warren Buffett could chip in, and if there's enough time, get him on a spaceship and let him hitch a ride on this asteroid and get out of here while there's still time. All right, this asteroid will take him ever closer to the sun. Now, how is it that asteroids, how do they move the way they do? They have that elongated elliptical orbit. How does that happen? Well, for about, let's think about a comet first. Comets are so fascinating. They have their tails, and that's because of the material. A comet is like a dirty snowball, and the tail is basically the material of the comet peeling off. As it gets closer to the sun, the tail gets longer. And let's say a comet goes around the sun once every 20 years. How does that happen? Well, imagine when it's the furthest away from the sun. Then for 10 years, it's falling. It's falling toward the sun. But based on its trajectory, if it was going right at the sun, it'd go into the sun and just be gone, be done with. But if its trajectory is such that it's going to miss the sun, then it's falling toward the sun for 10 years, and then it comes around the far side of the sun, and the gravity of the sun is pulling it in, but it's far enough away and at the right angle that it doesn't get pulled into the sun. It gets shot back up. And then for 10 years, it's flying back up. It's like you threw a rock up, and it's going up for 10 years. And then the last months or weeks or days, it's going so slowly you could probably walk alongside it if there were oxygen and if there was something to walk on up there. And then it's going really slow for quite a long time, and then it reaches the pinnacle, the summit of its orbit, and then it starts falling back to the sun for 10 years. It's cool how gravity affects things, and even though we still don't know for sure, there are guesses, but we don't know what gravity is yet, it's so cool how it affects things. We just saw a documentary on Isaac Newton and how he studied the Bible intently for decades, and he studied light and chemistry, although back then it was alchemy, and he tried to figure out prophecy in the Bible and when would be the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he was quite a character. Never got married, did he? If he got married, he wouldn't have had time to do all the experiments he did. But he was a brilliant scientist, and on PBS, they stated it again. This was a Nova special, that he's considered the world's greatest scientist, and he was by no means a traditional Christian, but he did believe in Jesus Christ and the God of the Bible, and he took the Bible very seriously all those decades that he was also doing his scientific investigations. So that's rather interesting. Okay, let's see. Now, where were we? All right, so this asteroid will come close, but it's not going to hit. And so there's no need. Al Gore could go back to doing whatever he does on a daily basis because the world will not end on July 3rd. And Stephen Hawking, it might be too late for him to hitch a ride on this asteroid. It's designated 2004 XP-14. And so, Stephen Hawking, sorry, I think it's too late for you to hitch a ride and escape from the global warming that is coming on this asteroid, but maybe you could catch the next one, the next near-Earth asteroid. And I have no doubt that Bill Gates and Warren Buffett would be willing to chip in, Dr. Hawking, if you'd like to try to see if the human race could survive the coming global warming, perhaps by hitching a ride on a near-Earth asteroid. All right, so that's worth trying. George W. Bush, I don't think he would want to, even if there were extra room on the asteroid, I don't think he'd want to go. Probably Air Force One is more comfortable. But he is saying just this week that global warming is a serious problem, and there's a debate over whether it's man-made or naturally caused, but we need to get beyond the debate and figure out how to solve the problem. So how's that? There's a debate, and it's sort of a liberal idea just to go ahead and pretend that mankind is responsible for global warming. I have this theory. Now call me uneducated, but I have this theory that global warming is a result of the sun. And I realize that it might be that I'm just not up on the latest science. I think that global warming is a result of the sun, and we've seen variation in climate over the previous centuries and millennia. And while it's warmed about, what, a degree or so in the last decades, it had cooled previously. And the idea that we need to panic, of course, is absurd. I'm not saying George Bush is panicking, but to decide in the debate to take the side of the liberals and the environmentalists, I think is probably foolish. But if he wants to use this as a wedge to talk liberals into putting in nuclear power plants in America, then hey, that's great. Okay. Now on to something much more dangerous and more typical. Our libraries are forever interested in putting the books on their shelves that will hurt kids. And there's a new book that's due out in July, and it's a sex ed book aimed at 4-year-olds. And so this article here, let's see, CBS Channel 4 out of Boston, talks about the previous sex ed books that have come out, you know, for 10-year-olds. One book called It's Perfectly Normal in the past, targeted 10-year-olds. Then another one, It's So Amazing, which was geared to 7-year-olds. And now this book, It's Not the Stork, aimed at 4-year-olds. And they talked to a mom in Brooklyn, Massachusetts, and they asked her to look at this book, It's Not the Stork, aimed at kids that her boy's age. And she said, no, I'm not interested in reading this to my sons. It's confusing enough for them which shoes they should put on in the morning. Never mind having to learn about sex education at 4 years of age. And of course, that's conservative compared to the Clinton administration with their Surgeon General, Joycelyn Elders, who suggested that we begin sex education for kids at birth. She thought that was the right age to start sex education. All right, so now where do we go with the news? Well, now let's go to Israel with the latest report is that, according to Israeli radio, Israel's defense forces have commenced airstrikes, and there's ground troop movement in northern Gaza, and an Israeli missile has hit a bridge so far. So that's the latest breaking news. And you know the Fatah party? Well, the Fatah party has their military wing, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, and they announced on Sunday, while many of us were in church, they announced that they now have manufactured chemical and biological weapons. And they claim that they have developed 20 different types of biological and chemical weapons, and that they are prepared to add these to their Qassam rockets that they fire at Israeli communities almost every day. And they've also threatened that they will use these new weapons, these chemical and biological weapons, against Israeli soldiers if Israel goes ahead and invades the Gaza Strip. And according to this Aqsa Martyrs Brigade announcement, we want to tell Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Defense Minister Amir Peretz that your threats don't frighten us. We will surprise you with our new weapons the moment the first soldier sets foot in the Gaza Strip. Well, and somebody should tell the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade that if you announce a surprise in advance, it's no longer a surprise. So, of course, that would be another horrendous development if they use chemical and biological weapons. And we urged the Palestinians to go the route of democracy, which is unwise. I know that there are Christians who think that God has inspired the world to adopt democracy, but you can't defend that position biblically because, in fact, we see in the Bible quite the opposite, that authority does not flow uphill from the people to the government, but authority flows downhill from God through the government to the people. And the people are not the authority over the government. The people are supposed to submit to the government. Unless, of course, the government tells them to do something wrong, and then the people should disobey, civil disobedience, but the people don't have authority over the government. So the Palestinian people use their newfound democracy to vote and usher in a democratically elected new government, and they chose Hamas. So Hamas, this terrorist organization, is now in charge of the Palestinian Authority. How's that? All right. What else is going on in the news? Hey, this is quite a day for news, huh? Let's look at this wire report. An Israeli aircraft fired a missile at a bridge in the central Gaza Strip today as troops prepared for a threatened offensive into the territory, according to Palestinian witnesses. Israel has been planning a major push into the territory following the capture of an Israeli soldier by militants from Gaza on Sunday. And by the way, the militants who kidnapped this Israeli gunman, this Israeli soldier, they, according to Hamas, some of the members are affiliated with Hamas. So it's not like it's an unknown individual or organization who has kidnapped this Israeli soldier. The Hamas government has some relationship with with this event. And the Hamas government, as I've followed their statements, have not demanded the release of this Israeli soldier. So we will see. We will see what happens, and especially hope for Israel to be successful and to gain and to free this soldier, and also that no chemical or biological weapons are used. All right. Okay, and apparently the report is accurate that Israel has shot at a bridge in Gaza, but early on in any military action, there's often confusion. All right, now back to the news in North Korea, where they are threatening to launch this missile that could carry a nuclear warhead and that could potentially hit targets in the U.S., especially in Alaska, but maybe eventually in Seattle or Oregon or elsewhere. Our government has stated with a high degree of confidence that they could shoot down that missile. That's rather fascinating. Of course, we could destroy it on its launch pad, which has been considered. Or if it's shot, we could shoot it down out of the air, not certainly, but with a high degree of confidence. And it's so interesting that for many years, you know, Ronald Reagan called for a shield so that the world can shift from its strategy of mutually assured destruction, MAD, MAD, that we would deter one another from attacking each other's countries by the fear that we could destroy one another. And Ronald Reagan said, let's try to shift away from that to a strategy not based on destroying one another, but based on defending ourselves so that we can have a missile shield. So if somebody shoots an intercontinental ballistic missile at us with a warhead, let's say targeting San Francisco, well, let's not get into a moral gray area. Let's say it's targeting Denver, Colorado. Then we'd have the ability to shoot down the missile. And the liberals prefer MAD, M-A-D, mutually assured destruction. And Ronald Reagan said, hey, we could develop this technology and we could share it with other countries because it's a defensive technology. And so now here's Japan worried about North Korea. You know, they could, Kim Jong-il, this guy's a madman. He could send up a nuclear warhead. He could be testing it. Maybe it'll come down on Tokyo. Maybe by accident, maybe on purpose. And so Japan is worried. And so for the first time now, since we've had Patriot missiles, and that's been many years, 20 years, I don't know when was the Patriot introduced, Japan has given us the okay to deploy advanced Patriot interceptor missiles on Japanese territory. Now, this is in U.S. bases in Japan, but this is the Patriot Advanced Capability 3 missiles, and Japan is thrilled to get these, just like Israel was during the Gulf War when Saddam Hussein shot his Scud missiles at Israel. And we had Patriots there, and I don't think they did as well as we had hoped, but that was quite a few years ago, and technology tends to get better and more effective. And so now Japan is thrilled that we have these rockets that could help to protect them in case a missile is shot by North Korea intentionally or even accidentally goes off target. Japan is thrilled about that, and I'm thrilled that we see that in the development of world history, just in the shortest time, just as our missile defense shield is beginning to be operational, we actually have a need for it already. Liberals would say, well, what would the need be? And we would say, well, let's say one intercontinental ballistic missile with a nuclear warhead landing in Seattle could take out, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, kill those people. And liberals don't care about that. So we had to shift our tactics, and we have to identify the endangered species that live in the Puget Sound area. We have to tell the liberals that very few endangered species could survive a direct nuclear hit. And therefore, you should not only defend and support the missile shield, but fund it out of the EPA budget. And then they say, oh, wow, that is progressive. So, but I'm glad to see that we have a need for the missile shield even before it's fully operational. And, of course, we've had liberals saying, well, what's the sense of that? What's the sense of that shield? Because another country could put a nuclear weapon on a ship and just float it into one of our harbors and explode it. That's true, of course. When you're defending yourself against your enemy, you don't throw your hands up and say, well, there's nothing we can do. You do your best to defend yourself against all kinds of various threats. So if your home is in a floodplain and there is serious flooding that occurs once every 10 years, well, for one, the taxpayers shouldn't subsidize your flood insurance or your rebuilding cost. You should, well, if you lose what you have because you built in a floodplain, you should then, and there's a flood, then you lose what you have and you move somewhere else. But just because your home is in a floodplain, that doesn't mean you say to your wife, well, you know what, honey, there's no sense having smoke detectors and fire alarms in our home because we're in a floodplain. And she says, oh, you know, when my father warned me not to marry a liberal, I didn't really see his point. But honey, now I understand Dad was right. So just because you live in a floodplain doesn't mean that you're going to do away with smoke detectors. And the same thing here. And I'm glad that the conservatives, Ronald Reagan, had his way. And we have the beginnings of an effective missile shield just in case Kim Jong-il goes even more berserk than he's been behaving in the last 10 years. All right. So that's about it. And Israel has begun their Gaza attack. As far as we can tell here, if these wire reports are accurate. So we pray that IAF aircraft blow up bridge in northern Gaza Strip. We pray that the mission is a success and this soldier is freed. Hey, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Maranatha.